This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Childhood games like double dutch, hand clap routines, and stepping have been played on streets and schoolyards for decades. Now a dance show coming to the Triangle puts these games in a new context. Camille A. Brown is a choreographer and the one behind Black Girl Linguistic Play. The performance explores the historical roots of these games and dances. It also highlights the subtleties in the language and expressions of young African-American girls. Black Girl Linguistic Play is on stage this Saturday at 8 o'clock, North Carolina State University's Stewart Theater. Choreographer and educator Camille A. Brown joins me in the studio now. Welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
When did you start to see these gestures and the choreography, if you will, of street games as a kind of language?
Yes, it's always been a language for me in terms of communication. As a child, I have a small voice, and as a child, I didn't, in terms of power, where we, if we ask ourselves, where do we access our power, me speaking was not where I accessed that power. It was more through movement in the body. So the language of the body, the linguistics of that has always been at the forefront of how I communicate. So it wasn't that hard to reach.
It may have always been true, but I wonder if you noticed it back then when you were a little girl playing those games. Did you sense that this is how you were coming through, or did you at some point look back and say, you know, that's interesting what's happening in those games?
I didn't realize how complex those games were. I think they were just innate. Like double dutch is kind of thing that you just did it. You don't remember the first time you learned it. You just know it. And the games that we played too. But looking back at it and looking at the composition and the musicality and the rhythms, how complicated they are, I mean, I'm just amazed at what children do in order to communicate and what kind of movement and language they're creating with their bodies.
Apart from getting through the game and getting to the end, what else do you see going on in that language? What else is being communicated?
It's also a sense of identity, too. You're claiming your space. That's your creative identity coming out. It's who you are. You're telling the person that you, if you are dancing with someone or you are communicating with hand clap games, you're identifying with them, communicating how you are. So I think it's also about claiming your identity, too.
Is that different for girls than boys, do you think?
No, I think it's done in different ways. Yeah. But the handshake or the dap, it's the same thing. You know,
right.
It's a way of communicating, and everybody has their little way of doing it. So it's...
So what, and you have written that you were exhausted by stereotypes and tropes that surround Black women and girls. What were some of the stereotypes that you noticed and how they were being perceived?
Yes, well, I created a work in 2012 called Mr. Tolly Rants, and it was about Black stereotypes in the media, both past and present. And we tend to see in the media that young Black boys and young Black girls are not seen as children sometimes, sometimes their age. So, for instance, Trayvon Martin was 17 years old, but he was seen and treated like an adult. So that's really where the exhaustion comes from. It also comes from the idea of the angry Black female. Mm-hmm. That's one of the stereotypes. And I was exhausted by it because while I was creating the Mr. Tolerance, which is about stereotypes, I usually take between 1 to 2 years to choreograph a work. And when I started getting questions about whether I was going to focus specifically on Black female stereotypes, even though we did an overview, people just wanted to zone in on that because it took me so long to create that and all of the unpacking that it took to delve into those stereotypes. I wasn't comfortable doing that again. And I think because I am a Black woman, it is a Black girl, it's a little more specific. So I wanted to talk about something else, and I wanted to put out another narrative, some narratives that few people are not able to see.
So tell us more about Black Girl Linguistic Play. What are we going to see when we see this performed?
Yeah, it's, well, you're going to see live musicians. So we have a live pianist, Scott Patterson. We have Tracy Wormworth, who is an electric bassist, and five dancers. And it's really, is about childhood and the maturation of a black girl and what that means, and the sisterhood that continues on as we get older. The linguistic in Black Girl Linguistic Play, it speaks to the language of the body. A lot of people see the word linguistic and expect there to be text, but for me, that's not the only way that you can communicate. And there's a play to how we communicate, too. So that's what they're going to see. I really don't want to say too much, but it'll be a lot of, it'll be fun, and hopefully it'll take people back.
And you do consider it a play and not only a dance performance, so that is to say there's a kind of narrative that we should be able to follow?
Yes. I mean, I love storytelling. That's at the heart of what I do and how I create work. So it is going to be an arc, and it will track the growth of a black girl.
And I understand that in putting this performance together, you found inspiration in a book by Kira Gaunt.
Yes, The Games Black Girls Play.
Tell us more about that and what you found in that book.
Yes, it was fantastic. I actually was telling a friend who is a cultural anthropologist, Amy Cox, about how I was looking at my childhood and how I didn't see it as much in the media, and what I wanted to talk about in terms of girls. And she gave me a chapter, and it spoke to how these games also contributed to music, to hip-hop. And I started thinking and connecting the dots and going, wow, yes, these are jazz compositions. These are complex things that are difficult and hard. And sometimes because they're children, they're seen as trivial, but they're not. They're extremely artistic.
Because you've got obviously there's a set of rules, right? There's a framework, but then a lot of improvisation that goes on within the rules, right?
Yes. Now for the piece, we don't do improv.
Yeah.
But when you are doing games, there is a form of there is a form of doing your own thing, but that speaks to the creative identity part of it too.
And so what are the games we're talking about? These are not games that are only played in African American neighborhoods, right?
No, and this story is I make sure that people know that this is a black girl story through her lens. It is not the black girl story, because we are all different. So every black girl didn't play Double Dutch. I did as a child, so I'm taking inspiration from where I grew up. So it's very important for me to know, and for other people to know, that this is through a black girl's lens. And how often are we able to see black girl stories through her own lens? Because it's a very different story told through a different lens.
You wanted to stay away from the stereotypes and tropes. At the same time, you are taking a look at dance and games and focusing on some gestures that we might be familiar with, the snap and mm-hmm. a lip smack and that sort of a thing. What were you looking at, and how did you incorporate them as a choreographer?
Yes, in terms of the snaps, the thing that makes it a stereotype is when you see it stereotyped, it's just one meaning.
Right.
But for me, a snap means several things depending on how you do it. And that is where it separates itself between the stereotype and actually the authenticity of these gestures. So what we're trying to bring across when we are performing these is the authenticity and not the stereotype, which is important for people to know.
So that it's nuanced, and as you say, multiple meanings. And I know that a big component of the performance is a talk back. So there's a dialogue with the audience, and the dancers often speak directly to them. And I think you had an experience that I'd like you to tell us a story about, sort of listening into one of these talkbacks from backstage mm-hmm. with your dancers, and an observation that you made.
Yes, I remember that. So this happened a couple of years ago. And while we were showing the work as a work in progress, I took that opportunity to just feel out what people were thinking. And I asked the room, when you think of the phrase black girl, what comes to mind? What do you expect to see just based off of the title? And we were in the Midwest, and we were talking to some students, and I was in the back because I was about to perform, and my dancers were talking to them, and we asked them the same thing: when you hear black girl, what comes to mind? And they started saying a lot of negative words, and you hear both when we have done this before, but this was different. They were all negative, and their tone made me interested to know who was in the audience, because just assume that, okay, they are, these are black kids indicting the stereotype because they are adamant about how they're saying it. So I decided to peek in, and it was an all majority white audience, and they were actually doing the mannerisms. When we're talking about this, the hand snap, they were doing the mannerisms that they associated with being a black girl, and they were pointing to the few black girls that were in the audience. And I'm a dancer. That's the way I communicate. And that was probably one of the experiences that I will never forget, that I actually didn't want to dance because I was really upset. And oh, go ahead.
Well, I wondered what you said initially before you looked out at the audience. You assumed that these were, this was a black audience, or many of them were young black girls rebelling against, or you know, sort of making a critique
right.
about the stereotype. What made you think, in other words, what made you, what in their tone made you think that?
Because it was very direct.
Yeah.
And
negative.
It was negative, but it was, this is what it is. Yeah. It was a statement. It was a fact. That's how they were saying it. Mm. So I assumed that, oh, okay, these are black kids that are just like calling it out. And it wasn't. And that made it even more disturbing. And I wasn't going to go out there. But then I felt like, well, the way you communicate is dance. How they're doing the gestures, you know that there are more dimensional meanings to those gestures. So why don't you go out and perform the piece and do it for them and show them your side, how it feels from your experience. So I went out there and I asked them afterwards, what did they see? And the kids said, oh, we saw games, we saw childhood, we saw play. And I asked them, well, why when we asked you, the first thing that came to your mind, everything was negative. And how would you feel if someone set you up or sized you up before you even walked out? So it's interesting how people view black girls and black women.
How would you say, though, that, or how would you explain the fact that often some of the, often these gestures make their way out of black communities and become very popular and taken over quickly in white communities? I mean, I can think about the snap and how it would be very common, very easy to see that on the cast of Friends a couple of decades ago. Those kinds of gestures easily make their way into white communities. So what do you think is happening there?
Well, I think the hand snap is a gesture. Yeah. I think it's something that everybody does, that everyone does. Now, the way they do it can be very different. Now, when we're talking about specific dances or specific moves, then we get into cultural appropriation, which happens. So that's another thing.
I wonder to what extent, though, it would be interesting to think about, and I didn't know if this was any, and I know you've done exhaustive research on this, that the gestures and dances that might come out of a particular experience, so it might come out of an African-American neighborhood because of a very particular experience in history, where elements of that would be adopted or embraced by women who even white women feel themselves in some ways in a subordinate situation in a community and can feel or at least understand why a different kind of coded language might be important for them too, even though authentically it's not theirs.
Yeah. I mean, think that, well, black girl is, I wanted there to be a duality. I wanted there to be something that was culturally specific, but something that people, regardless of whether being black or a girl, can connect with, because these themes that we're talking about, friendship, sisterhood, camaraderie, these things are universal themes. And I think it's easy when you first hear the title, and if you're not black or if you're not a girl, it's easy to say, oh, this isn't my story. But it actually is your story, because you are a human. And that's one of the reasons why I called it Black Girl, because black girls are human.
You did extensive research, I know, in developing this piece. What did you learn about the roots of these dances and these games, maybe, that surprised you?
I don't know if it surprised me, but more so disappoints me that I didn't know as much as I do now. And I'm still learning. But there is an imbalance within dance education, and specifically in terms of teaching about African-American contributions to dance. And unfortunately, a lot of that has not been told in the right way. So for me to do this research and to see that there's an imbalance. I mean, I knew there was, but it just affirms that. And
well, you've done a lot of teaching and trying to get the word out.
Yes.
Last year, you put out a video on a TED Talk that has since gone viral.
Yes.
About the history of African-American social dance. I want to listen to just a clip of that.
Okay.
This is the bop. The bop is a type of social dance. Dance is a language, and social dance is an expression that emerges from a community. A social dance isn't choreographed by any one person. It can't be traced to any one moment. Each dance has steps that everyone can agree on, but it's about the individual and their creative identity.
That's a part of a TED Talk put together by Camille A. Brown, who is a choreographer and my guest this hour. Tell us about that and some of the research, how you track down these dances.
Yes. So I also work with a wonderful scholar. His name is Monsell Durden, and we actually co-directed the Jacob's Pillow social dance program a couple of years ago. And it's rooted in the African tradition, and it's also about tracking them through, well, it's a progression. Mm. So the bop, and the thing about social dances too is that there is not one direct line. So that's important too. So I can trace the bop to the twist, to the butterfly, but that's my track. But someone else can track it in a different way. And it's just looking at the progression of social dance and where people, specifically depending upon their political and social climate, how these things change and form.
Yeah, I think that's also important, the way you put it in context. So understanding that political, social, economic forces in the moment are probably going to have an impact on something that had a history and changed the trajectory. It was on a path, and then it's sort of like a pool ball gets bounced over here and bangs off the cushion another way.
Well, it's just like African tradition during the Middle Passage when the enslaved Africans were stripped of their culture. Part of that culture is dance. And so they used their body once they got to the New World. It was a combination of trying to remember what was stripped away, but also being influenced by the New World. And they were still able to move, and they used dance to protest, to heal, to communicate in the midst of being oppressed.
Which was complicated further by prohibitions against certain kinds of music and communication. And that made things more complicated and more difficult when you're trying to...
Yes, and certain plantations, the enslaved Africans weren't allowed to have drums because out of fear that they would be passing specific codes. Hmm. So they used their hands and they used their hips and slapped, and it eventually became hambone. So these type of things, just based on your situation, does shape the language of movement. But the beautiful thing about movement and why I love it is because it keeps moving and it keeps changing regardless of what's happening. It shifts.
Well, it's great that you're reflecting it and great that you're here sharing your experiences with us. Camille A. Brown, choreographer and creator of Black Girl Linguistic Play. Thank you for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
That piece is on stage this Saturday, 8 o'clock, North Carolina State University, Stewart Theater. And you can find out more about the show at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the music of Lowland Hum. Stay tuned. Shiver and roll.